I'm Karen Given. Coming up on Only a Game, taking on poverty and gangs in Detroit, one hook, cross, and jab at a time. But first, Charlie Pierce joins me for a look at the week's news. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Karen.
Accusing the Brazilian police of a crime that they apparently did not commit is a very bad idea. That's the lesson Ryan Lochte and three of his fellow Olympic swimmers learned this week after apparently damaging a gas station door and being confronted by security guards who wanted them to pay up. What do you make of this brouhaha?
No, I think brouhaha, emphasis on the first syllable, is probably where we're at here. Ryan Lochte's an oaf. But I have to admit, this really makes me wonder about the loyalty of athletes' moms. We hear a lot of great things about athletes' moms, but it was Lochte's mom who spread the story about how the Brazilian police had robbed him of his wallet, but mysteriously not his watch. And, you know, guys, even in Rio de Janeiro, there are surveillance cameras. You're always on camera now, everywhere you go.
And if your hair is bright green, they're going to find
you. That's a very good point. It's going to be very hard to explain that it's not you.
Kerry Walsh Jennings will take home the beach volleyball bronze along with teammate April Ross. They were expected to compete for gold. Walsh Jennings is widely recognized as the greatest U.S. female volleyballer of all time, but now she's gotten a bronze. So loser, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I watched the American women's beach volleyball team and the American women's indoor volleyball team, both of whom were upset. The women's volleyball team was upset by Serbia, and of course, the American women's beach volleyball team were upset by Brazil, which once again, charmingly, only uses their first names. They were beaten by Barbara and Agatha. But they came back and won the bronze, and I mean, she's been doing this an awfully long time.
Yeah.
I think one bronze among the golds isn't that bad.
Argentina's Manu Ginobili and France's Tony Parker have played in their last Olympics, Charlie. Both countries have been eliminated. Maybe the opportunity for each to add a fifth NBA ring with the San Antonio Spurs will console them.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Parker's 34, Ginobili's 39. If they want to maintain their NBA careers, which apparently they do, and apparently the Spurs want them to, this is probably the smart move. Particularly for Ginobili, this has to be tough because he's part of that great generation of Argentina's basketball program that is now passing from the stage, and he's the linchpin of it. But they will be back and contributing, I'm sure, to Coach Pop this year.
German Olympic runners Anna and Lisa Honner are twins. They finished last Sunday's women's marathon in 81st and 82nd place, and they caught a lot of grief about it. Why?
Because they finished hand in hand, and the Germans went bananas. The Germans said it was treating the Olympic marathon like, quote, a fun run. You know what? When you're in 81st place, it is a fun run. I keep hearing about, you know, the main thing about the Olympics is not winning, but taking part. Okay, they were taking part.
Irish bantamweight Michael Conlan has accused amateur boxing officials of corruption. Wait, boxing? Corrupt?
First of all, I love Michael Conlan because if you watch that fight and then watch his reaction to the very, very bizarre decision he was handed, Michael Conlan put up the international sign for disapproval, which is the famous double bird, to all corners of the arena. I think he was just aiming it at the judges, but it was an epic way to leave the ring and leave your Olympic career, and he did indeed get robbed.
NBC has been criticized for, well, pretty much everything related to how they have covered these games. Is it any worse than usual, or are we all just getting grumpier?
I think we're all getting grumpier. I think the availability of all the sports in real time on your telephone, which is basically the way I've watched most of the Olympics, is really cutting in. And they've been doing televised Olympics for so long that almost everything is a cliche. You can't avoid, I mean, outside of the individual stories of the athletes, which are told in basically the same way every 4 years, there's not much else you can do.
The Paralympics will begin on September 7th in Rio. The event has received a $46 million taxpayer bailout after organizers failed to come up with the necessary funding from private sources. Some say the solution is to combine the Olympics and the Paralympics. What does Charlie Pierce say?
I don't think that's a solution because as long as you've got cities bidding for these things, you're going to wind up with the Paralympics getting all jumbled up in the actual Olympic monster. They will lose their sense of identity almost immediately. Once again, the basic solution to this whole problem is to fire all the corrupt bagmen who are in the IOC, build a permanent site. I've suggested Omaha. I don't think there's any reason why they can't be in Omaha every 4 years. And then allow the organizing bodies for the Olympics and the Paralympics to do their own business in their own way.
Clemson quarterback Deshaun Watson is asking us to stop calling him a dual threat. He says that's code for a racial stereotype. What do you think?
I think he's right, and I'm glad he called it out. And I think the more athletes who do that and the more athletes who become aware of it, the better we'll be at covering them.
MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred is reportedly alarmed by the game's lack of action this season and is considering what some say would be the most radical rule changes to the game since 1889. Because, you know, it's not like tradition matters in baseball or anything.
You know what, though? I love all of these. I mean, curtailing the number of pitching changes in a game, Tony La Russa's head will explode all over his ballet school T-shirt. 20-second time clocks for pitchers I've advocated for years because it will eliminate Clay Buchholz's, you know, dark night of the soul every time he decides whether or not he's going to hang a slider or hang a curveball. Good for Rob Manfred. I hope he gets at least half of these through.
And finally, Charlie, I feel very badly that I didn't give you the chance to yell your favorite word last week. So go ahead.
Sports!
Well done. Anyway, most people know that Ernest Hemingway was a hunter. So was Hunter S. Thompson. This week, the late writer's stories intersected in an interesting way. What happened?
Apparently, at one point during his very lively career, Hunter stole a pair of antlers from Ernest Hemingway's home. And, you know, both of them have now passed along to the great Gonzo Writers Workshop in the sky. And Hunter's family have returned the antlers to the Hemingways, which I think is a really nice way to attain closure.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce in Sports Illustrated. And he joins us each week on Only a Game. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Karen.